podcast. My name's Scout, and thank you so much for tuning in. Whether you're a new listener or a repeated listener, I just want to thank you for being here, and I sincerely hope that some of the topics that are discussed, just sort of offer any kind of help, even if it's just in some small way. That's really why I'm here. I don't really know how many listeners the podcast has, to be honest. I kind of don't really look at that sort of stuff on the settings and the statistics, but I've had some people over the last few months just reach out and say that some of the things that are discussed on the podcast have really helped them, and that means a lot to me. So I just want to thank you so much for anyone who has gotten in touch, and sincerely, just to anyone who's listening, I really appreciate it, and I truly hope that some of these conversations make you feel less alone, and obviously, I realize I call it a conversation, and I'm obviously talking to a microphone, but I do sincerely, I've said sincerely about 50 times already in maybe 2 minutes, I do really feel like, I can feel that, people are out there, and I guess that's the best way I can express that. I'm feeling pretty weird today, I have to be honest. I'm kind of having a dissociative episode. It's not quite as bad as it has been over the last few weeks, and I've sort of on the tail end of a depressive episode at the moment. Like I'm coming out of that, and I'm feeling quite a bit better today, but I haven't really been too functional. So I just want to say straight up, I do apologize if occasionally I don't make sense, or occasionally I go off on a tangent, or if I pause and my brain is just sort of whirling away and trying to connect the dots. It's that feeling. I'm sure people who've had dissociation can really relate, but I just sort of feel like my brain is floating above my head, kind of like a balloon. Like I'm aware that I'm speaking at present, but I don't feel myself speaking, and it's just a really weird thing. And it always feels very strange. I'm also feeling kind of overwhelmed by the fact that some dude up the road is mowing his lawn or using one of those leaf blower things. He has every right to do that, of course, so I'm not angry at him, but the sensory element is frustrating me. That actually sort of leads me into what I wanted to talk about today, which is sensory overload. And sensory processing disorder. Oh no, you're joking. Is that another lawnmower? Oh no, I think that was just a car motor. Okay. I really don't cope with noises. I really wanted to talk about sensory overload. So there is some irony there that there's background noise. There's always background noise. I know I mentioned that a lot in the episodes, but and I know it's not my fault, of course, but I do apologize if the microphone picks that up. But it frazzles me, and I hope that it doesn't frazzle anyone else. I can only speak about sensory overload from my personal experiences. So I just want to preface this with firstly saying that sensory overload can affect people with so many different conditions, both mental and physical. And because I have a pretty deep fear and paranoia of leaving people out, I just want to make it clear that, it's such a widespread thing. And, I'm not going to list every single condition that it can sort of stem from, or as a symptom of, because again, I'm terrified that I'll accidentally leave one out, and I don't want anyone to feel sort of invalidated, you know, if that makes sense. I just want to stress the point that if you're experiencing sensory overload, then that's what you're experiencing, you know, and there's no shame, there's no guilt in that. There's so many different causes. And I just wanted to sort of mention that very early on. So please don't feel left out or like I'm sort of ignoring your condition, your particular condition, because I'm absolutely, absolutely not. And I certainly don't want that to, I don't want it to seem like that's the case, because I realize that, it can come from many different, many different reasons. I, of course, like I mentioned, can only speak from my personal experience, and after having therapy and obviously ongoing therapy as well, you know, I've realized that my sensory overload and processing issues relate to, at least to the best of our knowledge, you know, the psychologist and I, relates to PTSD as well as schizoaffective. So it is important to mention that schizoaffective and other psychotic illnesses can absolutely cause sensory processing issues. And I'll talk a bit about why in a little minute. But also anxiety and panic disorder. So I've had that for honestly just as long as I can remember. And I've had episodes and, you know, sort of large periods of my life where it has been particularly severe. And I've had agoraphobia as well, which is the fear of going outside, really. There's been times where that has been truly debilitating, and it's felt like there's like this force field at the front door where you just can't go outside. And obviously therapy has really helped me with that. And I don't mean to be facetious at all, but it's strangely, in a way, helped me cope with COVID a bit better. I mean, COVID's been horrible, don't get me wrong. And I don't mean to downplay that for a split second. But because I would spend months and months and months on end not going outside, you know, I can cope a bit better with that. Doesn't make it easy at all. It just means that it's not exactly unfamiliar territory, if that makes sense. So it takes one stress away, but it also adds other stresses. And I just want to again mention that I don't mean that to downplay COVID whatsoever. I can't stress how serious COVID is. You know, it's a very, very serious thing. And also, you know, agoraphobia is not something to be, certainly not something to, you know, to make light of in any way, shape or form. So sensory overload for me is something that, looking back, I can see that it has always been there in some capacity, but I would have to say, at least in my opinion, I feel like it has gotten worse for me, especially over the last, I'd say, sort of several years, maybe 3-4 years approximately. It's just sort of gradually gotten worse. And a big one for me is auditory input. So like just sounds and things like that. I find it really, really difficult to not feel stressed. Even just having the television on sometimes, even if it's on a low volume, is just way too much for my brain to deal with. That's just really kind of the best way I can put it. I will mention, of course, as well, that it can be very episodic. So I would say that I definitely have issues with sensory processing every single day, but the sort of severity of that differs, and I think it really relates to my other symptoms, other things that are going on at the time, other stresses. And I know I mentioned in a previous episode, I talked about how I also have physical illness. So yeah, you know, like obviously having mental illness and physical illness at the same time is tiring enough, and there's a lot to juggle there and a lot to navigate. And really what it comes down to is our brains and our bodies are just saying that it can't deal with a single more thing, you know. It's just crying out saying, I'm overwhelmed, you know, I'm at max capacity. I can't deal with, you know, a single thing, you know, a single, another sound or another, you know, another image or whatnot. And there's obviously lots of different things that can trigger sensory overload, but I'd say sound, touch, and sight are my biggest ones. Sound definitely being the biggest, I would say, for me personally. That's one that I notice very, very prominently on a daily basis. And I'll talk about how I kind of process that and how I, how I sort of manage that. I'll talk about that shortly. But sound's definitely a huge one. But also touch, you know, sometimes, a lot of the time sometimes people just want to hug and say hello. Obviously not so much at the moment with COVID, you know, everyone's, most people hopefully are socially distancing, but, just things like that. Sometimes it just feels very, very unnatural to want to hug someone, and I've felt a lot of guilt about that, if I'm honest. And yeah, that's a difficult one. You know, that's a difficult one. I think that there's this unfair societal expectation for people to be very, you know, huggy and wanting, you know, to, they sort of imply that it's normal to do certain things. And sometimes that's not what people want, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we just can't deal with that added overwhelming sense, you know. And I've always hated when people touch my ears or touch my face, and I know that's probably not that uncommon, you know. It's very, you know, not many people, or a lot of people rather, would find that uncomfortable. But I've had times where I've gotten very frustrated at friends who've just like suddenly touched my face or touched my ear or something like that. And they haven't meant it in a harmful way at all. You know, it might be something as simple as, I don't know, like having food or something like that on your face, or, you know, something like that. But at times it just really overwhelms me and stresses me out. And I personally feel like it's best to always say to someone, and I'll stand by this really firmly, actually, I think it's always best to say to someone, you know, is it okay if I just, you know, brush that thing off your face? Or is it okay if I do this? You know, it's one of the first things that we're taught growing up, that we should respect people's space and people's autonomy. And of course we should. Of course we should. And that, I think, absolutely extends to all forms of interactive touch. So that's a huge one for me. Certainly not as prominent as sound, insofar as I don't think it is something that happens on a daily basis, you know. But sound is something that's sort of always there. And it can, you know, there's times where I am more than happy to, you know, listen to loud music, for example, or, you know, there's plenty of times where it's not triggering, but there's a lot of times when it is, and especially when there's more than one sound, and that can even be very slight, you know, like I might be, this is one that I'd say I experience every day, actually, is, let's say I'm watching something on Netflix and all of a sudden, you know, I hear a car go past or a bird or a motorcycle or something like that. I'll find that even just hearing the car go past whilst I'm listening or watching something on Netflix, it will just like make my brain kind of freeze and just feel like I can't focus on what I was just focusing on. It's almost like the senses just sort of like those two different sensory inputs just pile on top of each other, and my brain is just like, whoa, you know, let's just stop for a second, because that's, you know, like I'm just processing that thing that just happened. And it's almost like there's like these, what's the best way to explain it? Like these cross wires sort of thing that are just frazzling. And Alfie, it's okay. Sorry, I just heard him. I think he was having a nightmare. That's my dog, by the way. what was I saying? Yeah, it's, you know, 1 minute you can be doing something and watching something, and then the next minute another sound can happen, and that can sort of trigger the whole overloaded feeling, if that makes sense. And I do think that's an important point actually to mention, is just how suddenly it can happen. And I find that happen with myself a lot, actually. It will happen very suddenly, you know. It comes back to what I was saying earlier, where it feels like your brain really just says, okay, that was too much, you know, like that was the one thing that was too much for me to process, and now everything else is too hard for me to process, so I need to just stop and kind of just not process any of it. So a lot of the time I'll have to abruptly stop or pause like a show I'm watching and just go and be in complete silence for a while. And that's where the good old earmuffs come in. I've got some sensory overload earmuffs, and I can't recommend them enough. I honestly can't. Now, I'm not sponsored by earmuffs in general. I'm not sort of sponsored by the earmuff industry or anything like that. I just highly recommend them for people who have sensory processing issues of any kind. They just help sort of bring things back to a calm place for me. You know, they help sort of pause that feeling of being overwhelmed, and it gives my brain a chance to just have like a big breath of fresh air. All right, I'm back now. Sorry about that. I just paused that just for a moment. I was feeling kind of a bit overloaded, actually, just sort of talking about things, and went and had some lunch. Yeah, you know when sometimes you're talking, and as I mentioned earlier, and I'm sorry, by the way, there are some even louder birds than usual, and there's quite a few background noises today, which I think is contributing to me feeling kind of overwhelmed. But that motor as well at that construction site, I swear it's gotten louder in the last hour. So yeah, I hope that's not too loud on the microphone, and I'll do my best to stay focused. I probably won't talk as long as usual, which is probably a positive, to be honest, because I know I can rant sometimes. As I mentioned, sometimes these episodes are also kind of therapeutic to be able to talk about certain topics. But yeah, I'll do my very best to stay on track. So I know I was talking about the earmuffs when I sort of finished up just before I had some lunch, and yeah, just to sort of reiterate, so I highly recommend them. I think they're fantastic. I can't remember if I mentioned earlier the prices and that sort of thing, but I know mine were around $20 or $30, and I got those on eBay. I will also mention that it's important to make sure that you get the adult sizes, which I know... I really apologize if I'm repeating myself. I seem to sometimes have like short-term memory loss, which I think might be a side effect from meds and that sort of thing, but as well as fatigue. But gosh, what was I saying? Yeah, I'm sorry if I mentioned this already, but with the earmuffs, just make sure that you get the adult size, because a lot of the ones on eBay, for example, are children's sizes, which is understandable. Of course, a lot of kids have sensory processing issues. Sorry, you know, I'm already sort of trailing off. The listings on eBay weren't that clear sometimes with the sizes. There was once where I very nearly accidentally bought some very, very tiny earmuffs, which obviously wouldn't have fit on my head. But I think for 20 or 30 bucks, they definitely significantly help. I would recommend them over noise cancelling headphones, like music headphones, for a few reasons. I guess firstly because they're cheaper, they're definitely significantly more affordable. Music headphones tend to be quite a bit more dear, especially noise cancelling ones. I'm struggling to stay on track. Especially noise cancelling ones. So, and there's lots of other reasons, but to be honest, my brain just doesn't seem to be cooperating. But I did want to talk about verbal, sort of being non-verbal sometimes, especially when sensory overload is relevant. Now, I've noticed this increasingly, as I know at the start of the episode, I mentioned how I would say over the last several years I've noticed certain increases in issues relating to sensory processing. I've certainly always had them, and retrospectively I can definitely see a lot of times in my life where I would have to, retreat and just sort of have that silence. I've certainly noticed that my brain seems to be coping with that via often just not really being able to, it's not that I am not able to communicate. Like I certainly, in my experience, I certainly can. And as I've mentioned before, there's nothing wrong with it at all. If you are personally, find it hard to communicate sometimes because of sensory issues, etc., there's no shame in that. It's just your brain, that's the way your brain is coping with it. And we all, we all have different triggers and different things that our brain sort of sometimes really struggles with. And again, there's definitely no shame in that. I definitely have times where it's hard to explain this, because sometimes I definitely feel like there's an element of choice insofar as I feel, let me just explain that better so that I'm making myself clear. Sometimes I feel like I am choosing to not speak, and that the silence is, a willful choice, and that I'm choosing that because it helps me feel calm after a sensory overload. And then there are other times, and it's sort of a fine line, but there are other times where it feels like it's physically painful to speak, and like it's physically not only unnatural, like it's like my brain is saying, you really can't use that energy right now. And again, I know that may sound strange to people who perhaps haven't experienced that, but the best way I can explain it is it feels like a form of energy saving kind of thing. Like, like when your phone battery, for example, when your phone is on 5% battery, and you get that little alert and your phone just says, I'm nearly out of battery. Do you want me to start energy saving, and how they sort of stop using other apps in the background. It feels very similar to that. It's like your brain is just saying, technically speaking is very, very draining. I know doing this, talking on a podcast, like, I don't exaggerate when I say, like, it is incredibly tiring. And again, it's certainly not a burden. I love talking about these topics. I think it's important, and I do it because I want to, and because, you know, it matters to me and I care about the issues. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend like it's not really, really draining. Like, earlier I had to have a break because, I don't know, I was speaking for maybe half an hour and my brain was really struggling, and just wanted to have some time out. And that's not always apparent as well. And I think that that's another good point to keep in mind. You can't always tell when someone is experiencing sensory overload. I think sometimes you can. I know that I've had a few sort of episodes, I suppose you'd call it, in public, where I have felt very, very overwhelmed very suddenly, and I felt like an urgency to be away from all that, not only the crowds. I definitely really, really, really dislike crowds. I know a lot of people do. I mean, especially even more so at the moment, but, you know, with COVID, but just generally, I've always really, really struggled with that because of the sensory related issues. But yeah, just everything, you know, the sight, the sounds, you know, a lot of public spaces are very bright, you know, and very, brightly lit. So things like that, you know, sound, sight, so many different senses can get really, really overwhelmed. So that's a good thing just to remember, you know, if you yourself don't have sensory overload, but perhaps you know someone who does, you can't always tell by looking what they're going through. And that's really goes for everything, really, you know, especially mental illness and invisible illnesses in general, including physical illnesses, of course. You really can't tell what someone's going through just by looking. It's amazing how a lot of people, you know, how used to it we get, and how sort of how we adapt to just coping, I suppose, and trying to keep calm on the surface. And it's a really difficult thing to do. And I know for me personally, yeah, sometimes I'll have episodes which it's really obvious that, yeah, that I'm not coping, and it can be really obvious that something is distressing for me and that I'm finding it really hard. But also, at the same time, I have plenty of times where that's not the case. And yeah, you wouldn't, and I think I've spoken about that in the past a few times actually, but you know, you can't expect to see everything that's going on just by looking at someone for, you know, sort of in an assumptive manner. It doesn't really work that way. So just keep that in mind. You know, people can sometimes on the surface seem perhaps even calm, or they might even be smiling, but in their brain and just inside themselves, they could be barely holding it together. And sometimes people, I laugh because I've had times, and again, I don't mean to be facetious, but I do tend to cope through humor. I've had times where I've had to just vanish, completely vanish from like social settings, and people will be like, where did you go? You know, you were just gone. You were there 1 second and then you were gone, and no one saw you for the rest of the night because I'd gone and I'd gotten in a cab, or I'd, you know, just completely left and, you know, gotten in my car if I'd driven there, and had gone to be in complete silence because that's what I needed to do. You know, I needed to get out and go and be elsewhere, be alone. So yeah, you know, again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but I just want to, I think that's an important point to remember, that people can look like they're coping when they're not. And things can change very, very quickly. Again, I know I mentioned that earlier, but suddenly a trigger can appear that wasn't there before, or a new sensory input, such as, you know, another sound, or perhaps there's a bright light, or just things like that. And then all of a sudden your brain just sort of just says, oh no, you know, that's too much, you know, that's taking things too far, I can't process all this. And it tells you to get out, really, to go and self-care and relax. I think that's a big one. But just to sort of, I'll slowly start to wrap up, but just on that topic of sometimes being nonverbal and how, for me personally, and I recognize for a lot of people this will be very individual, and yeah, it's definitely an individual thing. I know I mentioned, oh gosh, I feel like I'm really repeating myself, so I do apologize for that. I think it's because my brain's just still very much so feeling quite dissociative and can take a bit longer sometimes to connect the dots. And that pump, that pump in that construction site that they've got running, and then the birds, it sort of makes my brain just struggle for a bit to kind of figure out what it's doing. It's just like that little spinning wheel that you get on your computer when your computer's like, what am I doing? What am I thinking about again? What am I supposed to be? What action am I performing? It feels similar to that. Yeah, the nonverbal thing, how it's difficult for me sometimes because, yeah, as I said, sometimes I feel like it is, you know, like I can choose to not speak because I'm like, well, I'm going to reserve that energy because it's very much so difficult and very much so tiring and fatiguing. And not to mention, you know, a lot of conflict can come from speech sometimes. A lot of negativity can sometimes come from speech. Not always, of course, but I just mean, you know, sometimes it causes conflict where there isn't really conflict, or sometimes people will misunderstand each other. And of course that can happen through nonverbal speech as well, you know, via text and whatnot. But I do notice that, yeah, sometimes conflicts can arise from verbal communication. And as well, I think something to mention is that conflicts in themselves can be very sensory overloady. Let's say you're having an argument with someone in your family, and you know, it was just over a complete misunderstanding or something like that. That whole scenario is a very sensory overload situation, because not only is it, you know, you're feeling tense and unwell and that sort of thing, because arguments are never pleasant, but there's also the, you know, people are raising their voices in most cases. Yeah, there's the sensory element of like feeling the anxiety, you know, and the elements that come with that, you know, the sensory element of like your heart racing or your palms sweating or yeah, things like that. You know, there's so many different facets to it, but yeah, it's one that I'm interested in because I have been I'm going to talk to my psychologist about it a little bit more, because we've touched upon sensory overload a bit and spoken about it a few times, and she's got a really good understanding of it, and she's been very helpful, and she's very big on, you know, self-care and listening to your boundaries and yeah, just following what your brain is kind of telling you to do. If it's telling you that it's overwhelmed, then it's overwhelmed and it's time to do everything you can to make things calmer and easier. But I am interested, I have to admit, with how, yeah, there's definitely a lot of times where it feels like it's not a choice to be nonverbal, if that makes sense. And it is a fine line. It can be a very fine line. And oh, that bird can be a fine line because oh, there was one thing I was just about to say. It was sort of just right there, and now I've been distracted by that very loud pterodactyl. What was it? Yeah, it's essentially it's difficult to navigate. Because, yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel like a choice. You know, obviously a lot of the time I'm happy being verbal, and I can be verbal. I mean, obviously, you know, I make a podcast, which, you know, answers that question. But it's just that I do think fatigue, oh my goodness. Honestly, I don't even know what that bird is. That's not a bird. That's a dinosaur. It's like circling as well. Oh goodness, where was I? Yeah, the nonverbal. Yeah, sometimes it's obviously, most of the time really, it's not a huge problem, but there's, I'd say several times a week where I just feel like I just, not only do I not have the energy for communication, but there are truly times where it feels like I just cannot muster it. Like I just can't do it. And then there are other times where I feel like I can if I force myself. And then of course there are other times where it's easy and it feels very simple and free and everything like that to have verbal communication. So it's just an interesting thing. I guess I'm interested in the biological side of that. Even though I guess my instincts say that it just really comes back to how our brains get overwhelmed and how, of course, you know, I know I've mentioned that I also have physical illness. So fatigue is a huge one. You know, when you're very, very fatigued mentally and physically, your body is just trying to preserve energy. And similar to that analogy I used about, you know, our mobile phones, when the battery's low, it asks you, you know, just says, look, I think mine asks me, I think it just says like, do you want me to turn the apps off in the background so that we can preserve this battery? And I really see it as very, very similar when you're having sensory overload, and that might sometimes include being nonverbal. And it can be a very day-to-day thing. You know, one day it might be fairly easy, you know, to talk and communicate with others. And then the next day you might just barely be able to say a word. And it can feel like, what's that expression? Like trying to squeeze milk out of a stone. I'm sorry if that's not really an expression and I just made that up, but I feel like that's an expression. Yeah, sometimes it can feel like trying to milk a stone. Let's just say that's a thing. And it's just like there's this, you know, it's beyond laborious, you know, like it's just such a huge task. It's like trying to, I'm really in on the analogies today. What's that one? Who's that? Oh, what's that character who pushes the boulder up the hill? You know, the famous, I think he's like a Greek god. Or the son of a Greek god. I should know that. It's a very famous, you know, I'm going to be annoying and I'm going to Google that now because that's gonna annoy me if I don't. Yeah, let's see. Greek god. Boulder. I'm sorry, I realise this has nothing to do with, well, I mean, it's a very, Cepheus. Yeah. Did I pronounce that correctly? Cis. Oh, goodness. Cyphus? It's something like that. I really apologize if I... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Cyphus or Cepheus. I'm sounding really... like I don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't, really. But anyway, sorry, that was just a... he's the... Oh no, he's being punished by the god Zeus. Okay. But anyway, slight diversion. Yeah, on occasion, speaking and just communication in general can feel like you're pushing the boulder up the hill. I don't know why I had to Google that. I could have just left that one, but anyway. I remembered it because I remember at uni several years ago we were talking about that. I think when we were reading the Iliad or... but now I've completely lost what I was, where I was up to, and that's my own fault. So it can be difficult, and I tend to revert to very, very abbreviated speech when I am feeling that way. If I can manage to, I know last week I had a bit of that and a bit of being nonverbal. Sometimes it's just for a little while, you know, a couple of hours or so, and sometimes it's for longer periods. And then, like I mentioned, sometimes it also does feel like I'm just being like, okay, well, I can't really manage this at the moment, so I'm just going to try and be as silent and still as possible, if that makes sense. So again, it's a fine line of how it all works and how your brain's just trying to preserve energy. But I'm very big on people using whatever methods that help them, you know, to cope. If it means, if it means being nonverbal, of course, again, I just want to make it clear that there's a lot of different conditions that can cause that. There's a lot of different situations, and you know, it's very multifaceted, so in no way, shape or form do I claim to speak for everyone. And there's a lot of people who are nonverbal all the time, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There really is nothing wrong with that. That's not their fault. It's nothing to feel guilty about. I'm certainly not an expert, again, so I don't want to try and speak on things that I'm not an expert on. I can only speak on my personal experiences. But whether you're, you know, some people are living in a constant state of sensory overload, and that's the reality. You know, the world is a very overwhelming, very, very overwhelming place, you know. That goes without saying, I guess, especially now more than ever, but I'm starting to feel paranoid that I've not expressed myself well enough and that I've left people out. And again, that's the reason why I'm not sort of, I don't want to sort of invalidate anyone's experience, because I just recognize that it can be very unique and that it can be very different for a lot of different people and for so many different reasons, you know. But do what you have to do to get by. That's really all there is to it. You know, your brain's gonna push you to do what it has to do, if that makes sense. Like, your brain will tell you, you know, it makes it very clear. I know in my experience, it makes it very, very clear when it's frustrated and when it needs me to stop doing certain things. And it will, you know, often take me having a complete breakdown for me to listen to that. But, you know, yeah, your brain will let you know. That's for sure. And your body as well. You know, like I said, there's lots of physical illnesses that can cause sensory overload as well. I remember seeing a documentary about a gentleman with an autoimmune condition, and I can't recall what it was. I'm really sorry, this was quite a while ago, but I just remember seeing it, and you know, he was in a very, very severe state of sensory overload because of the fatigue and pain that he was in, and he was nonverbal. And I think that was, you know, this was, like I mentioned, a while ago, and that was one of the first times that I'd really seen it represented, that physical illnesses can cause sensory overload as well. And it makes perfect sense, of course it does, you know. Everything's very connected, and being physically fatigued is an enormous drain on mental energy and things like that. It's a tricky one. I think I'll just, it can be can be tricky because it's a day by day thing. So I'm feeling really overwhelmed. So just to wrap up, definitely if you're able to check out the sensory earmuffs, I can't recommend them enough. Do what you have to do to avoid burnout, you know, sensory overload, sensory burnout. And it can be tricky. I'm not going to lie, it can be tricky in a world that tries to force us to, tries to push us into things when they're not right for us, or tries to make us be okay with sensory input, for example, or tries to make us be okay with loud noises when we're not, and crowds and, you know, bright flashing lights. I know I didn't speak much about visual overload. That's definitely one I do experience quite regularly, and it's normally from, you know, not only flashing lights, bright lights, when the sun's bright. I mean, the sun's often very bright, but you know what I mean, when it's just sort of prominent. Sometimes even dim lights can do that. Flickering lights, bright colours on the computer. I have to have my computer screen very dim, generally at all times. Just lots of different things. So I do, I apologise. I realise I haven't obviously touched on everything. I was hoping to delve into a bit more stuff, but I'm just kind of feeling, starting to feel like talking is getting quite laborious. And again, that's not at all saying I don't want to be here. I obviously do, and I definitely think it's important to talk about these things. But so do take care of yourself and just do what you have to do to get by, no matter, you know, it doesn't, how do I word this, there's so many different reasons for sensory overload, and what matters is just trying to make things as comfortable as possible for you. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. You know, if someone looks at you funny because you're wearing big earmuffs when you go, say, to the supermarket, who cares what they think, you know? But it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. What matters is your comfort and your happiness and, just taking care of yourself and listening to your brain and your body, listening to those cues, because our brains are very, you know, they give us a lot of hints, and they can sometimes shout at us when we have to listen. And it will say, you know, I can't be in that space. I can't deal with those sensory inputs. I can't cope with that information. And I think I mentioned this earlier, about how our brains are processing a lot as it is, especially if we already have a mental illness, for example, or any other kind of illness, of course, or condition. But yeah, you know, that's a lot to deal with generally, and our brains are doing a lot in the background that we forget about, and, you know, things that are just sort of happening on autopilot. So it makes complete sense for things to, just to sort of make us feel overwhelmed. It's a very, very overwhelming thing. There's a lot of information. Our brain is absorbing things constantly, and there's only so much we can take in at any given time. So please just don't feel guilt or shame if you experience sensory overload, and it's okay if one day it's easier to deal with and then the next day it's not. That doesn't invalidate your difficult days. I know that I struggle with that. You know, if I have a good day, I'll think, oh, well, why was I struggling the other day for? And then I'll have another bad day and I'll remember. I'll be like, oh, that's right. You know, like it's very unfortunately easy to be harsh on ourselves and to be overly critical and to, you know, I know I've spoken about internalized ableism, but I think that does definitely come into it a lot. So, yeah, be gentle with yourself and of course be gentle with others too. Like I mentioned, we don't know what someone else is going through just by looking. So someone might be smiling the next minute. They might need to go home, for example, if they're at a party or if they're, even if they're just with a few friends or if they're in a restaurant or, you know, things like that. Some settings might seem like they're not stressful for one person, but they may be intensely stressful for another. You know, even just being at a cafe, you've got so many different sounds. You've got the sounds from the street. You've got the sounds from the kitchen, most likely. You've got, you know, the clinking of glasses and there's certain, like, obviously people around as well, crowds. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that can very quickly overwhelm your brain, and I just sort of see it as your brain, you know, the circuits are getting overloaded. And yeah, it makes sense in a lot of cases. It makes sense why so many of us, so many people with so many different conditions and illnesses, etc. Why our brains just get overwhelmed and overloaded. But I think that that's it. I'm just quickly thinking if there was anything else I just wanted to add, but no, I think that that's it. So again, thank you so much for your patience, and I do apologize for losing my sort of chain of thought a few times there. I think I mentioned that my brain was feeling like a floating balloon at the start of this, if I remember correctly. I can't remember exactly, but with the dissociation. And now my brain is feeling like a empty water can. It's just sort of to run out of juice. Okay, so thank you very much, and I really appreciate everyone listening. I hope that some of this was helpful in some small way. Check out the good old earmuffs if you haven't already, if that's something that would interest you. I stand by them. I've got to get myself a second pair for my bag, just so I've got them with me at all times. They just help tremendously. And yeah, just have my, I think my last piece of advice would just be have a plan in place. Have a plan in place of what to do when you do have a sensory overload episode. So have like an action plan. So let's say, and this is just going off my experiences, let's just say you do have a sensory overload from some auditory sound and it triggers an episode. I personally remove myself from that sensory input, so as best as possible, of course. So say there's a noise and it's caused that, I'll either turn off that input, say it's on a television or computer, turn it off. If it's not something that I can turn off, put the earmuffs on. I usually put the earmuffs on anyway, to be honest, as soon as I sort of reach that point where I'm struggling. Put the earmuffs on, and to be honest, I often get in bed and get under the covers because I just can't cope with seeing light or having to cope with anything. So I'll sort of just do that for however long I need. Say usually, I don't know, half an hour to an hour, around about there usually helps me come back down to a state where I can at least be not feeling as overwhelmed. But yeah, have a plan like that. You know, your plan might be very different from mine, by the way, and that's perfectly fine. But yeah, just have a little plan so that you know that there is like an escape route, you know? Or if you're at like a mall, obviously I know crowds aren't really a thing. Well, they shouldn't be a thing at the moment. I know some places there's still crowds, but you know, if you're somewhere like that, if you have to go somewhere where there's people in general, have a plan in your head of how to cope with that if you do start to feel overloaded. I'll always have this little like escape route sort of mapped off in my head, you know, so I'll know exactly what I need to do, because that helps. I think that's quite empowering, and that also helps as well with panic attacks, which I struggle with. Yeah, it's empowering to have a plan. And as well with the nonverbal side of things, if you also have times where you're nonverbal, this can be a tricky one, I think, with friends and family sometimes, just going off my experiences. Sometimes people will get a bit grumpy with you if you don't verbally communicate, and that's frustrating. I think people should be understanding. And they should get that sometimes we hit that wall, and verbal communication can be the straw that you know, sort of, that just makes it too unbearable. So I think that can be tricky. I'm not going to lie. I think that can be hard. I know that I've had times where I've just said to friends or said to family, sometimes I even just write it down because I'm honestly just in such a state where I just can't muster speech. I'll just write it down and just say, I'll either just write something like I need silence, or I can't talk right now, or whatever, you know, something along those lines. Do what, you know, say what's right for you. And yeah, unfortunately, sometimes people will make fun or will, you know, they might not be that understanding, and they might think that, it's, I think people just have a lot of misconceptions. I think we'll just leave it at that. But you still have to do what's right for you. And there, if you also have times where, like I was mentioning, that it's just feels like you just can't make that happen, you know, or feel like verbal communication is just not something you can do due to sensory overload, then yeah, of course, it's not your fault. It's just your brain trying to cope, and your brain is just reserving those energy, those bars of energy. And it's actually a very responsible thing that your brain is doing. Responsible? Is that a word? That is a word. Yeah, that's, yeah, I think I should probably wrap up now. I'm back to dissociating and not really knowing what words are. So thank you again. And, yeah, I'm going to go have a nap. So please stay safe out there. I really appreciate every single listener. If you've listened this far, you deserve a gold star. And I really thank you for that. Please take good care of yourself. And I will be uploading again very, very, in the not too distant future, and as soon as I'm able to. Take care. Thanks so much. Bye.